I'd like you to take the Word of God and turn with me tonight. The Gospel of John. And let's read one verse as we stand to our feet. John chapter 5. Let's read verse 23. We've discussed this several weeks. And I don't think we need to go over this particular passage again. Everyone that's here tonight's been here through some of that discussion. Sometimes I'll go over and discuss it again when we have folks visiting with us so they can get an understanding of a couple of things. The Bible says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. Tonight that ought to be the goal of our life, is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in everything we do. With everything that we have, let's honor Him and bring glory to Him. Not to ourself, not to our church, but to our Savior. Let's pray together tonight. Father, we thank You for Your love. And there's no doubt, Lord, we know You love us so very much. And I pray that You'll help us to have the greatest desire in our life to bring glory and honor unto Thee. Lord, I pray that You'd strengthen me tonight to say what needs to be said. In the next few moments we have together, I pray that our hearts would be touched by Thy Word, Lord, that we'll see things that'll help us to be a greater servant for Thee, to bring greater honor to Thee, and Lord, that we'd go forward following after Thee. Help me, Lord, to be filled with Thy Spirit. For it's in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We've talked about several things so far. We talked about honoring Christ in our message. We've talked about honoring Christ in our music. We've talked about honoring Christ in our money. Tonight I want to talk about honoring Christ in our methods. Our methods. I've been taught for several years now that the method never changes. The message does not change. The method does not change, but the means may change. The message is always to be biblical, and the method is always to be biblical. But a lot of people are going outside of the Bible and bringing in business methods into the church and other kinds of methods. But there is a biblical method, that there is a precedence that is given to us in the Word of God. And if we're going to honor Christ, our method must always be biblical. We must find our methods from the Word of God. And in thinking about that tonight, if we are going to honor the Son, the way to honor the Father is to honor the Son. And we need to honor the Son with our methods. And we need to find our methods from the Bible. Now, when we think of methods, a lot of times we think of traditions. And I understand that traditions are important. And some tradition is right. The Bible says in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, and verse number 15, the Bible says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." And the Bible says in chapter 3, verse number 6, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." Now, the traditions that are being talked about here are the traditions of the Bible, are the traditions of the Word of God. And Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says there are some traditions you need to hold on to. And these are the traditions that line up with the Bible. These are the traditions that are given to us through the inspiration of God. And of course, at this time, we didn't have the completed Bible when Paul was speaking, but with what they had, he was saying, whether by word or our epistle. In other words, by what you have been taught from those of us that are apostles of the Lord. And then we see that he says, for those that are not holding fast to those traditions, withdraw yourself. We see churches flourishing all around the world today that are not holding true to the method of the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about Papaw did it that way, and that's the way we're going to do it, you know? I mean, We took up an offering this way. You don't understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about methods that are biblical methods. We all have certain ways we do things, but there are certain traditions that are right. And these traditions are things that line up with the Bible. Now, the Bible also helps us to understand that there are some traditions that are wrong. And the Bible teaches us this in the book of Colossians, chapter number 2 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Any tradition that does not honor Christ, we need to be careful about. But the traditions that do honor the Christ, the methods that do honor Christ, that line up with the Bible, those are all right. So there are some traditions that are right. There are some traditions that are wrong. We understand that. That is set for us in the Bible. But I want you to understand that the Bible gives us a clue as to everything that we do. When the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 31, the Bible says, "Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." So there are some traditions that are right, some traditions that are wrong. But what we must understand tonight is that everything we do ought to be something that will bring glory to God and honor to Him. So when we start talking about methods, we're not going to talk about, just everything that we could possibly talk about tonight, but there are several areas that we need to understand, and I want to give you just a few of those, and, we could talk forever about this tonight, but we just don't have the time to do all of that. But there are methods in the Bible that are given to us, and these methods should always be biblical methods. Number one is the method of prayer. The Bible says men ought always to pray. And the Bible says that in the book of Luke chapter 18. And guess who said it? It was the Lord Himself. And He was saying to us that there is a way that we can communicate with God, and that is through the avenue of prayer. You remember when the Lord Jesus was there with His followers, His disciples, and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then He gave them that model prayer: "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation." That's a model prayer. That's not something that we're going to repeat over and over and over again. But it teaches us about prayer, and it helps us to understand about prayer. The psalmist said, "Evening and morning and noon will I pray." The Lord Jesus rose up a great while before day to pray. Paul said, "I continually pray for you." When he wrote to the church at Colossae, he said, "After I heard about your faith and what God has done, I want you to know that I am praying for you." And then he even says some things, "I'm praying about these things for you." We find that John was a man of prayer and Peter was a man of prayer. And we understand these things because the Bible helps us to see that there is a method that God wants us to use in our life, and that is the method of prayer. We ought to have a prayer life. We ought to have prayer lists. We ought to have a prayer life. We ought to have a time where we pray together, and we ought to have a time where we pray alone. We ought to have a prayer closet. A place where we get along with God. Talk to Him. Did you know that that's biblical? Prayer is biblical? As a matter of fact, if we're not a praying people, then we're not a spiritual people. Because God, the Lord Jesus said, men ought always to pray. Witnessing. Witnessing is something that God has given to us. And there's biblical methods to do this. We're to be faithful witnesses all the time. Everywhere we go, we are to be a witness for the Lord. And by the way, do you realize everywhere you go, you are a witness? Whether you're a good witness or a bad witness, I can't tell you. But everywhere we go, we are a witness either for or against the Lord. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm saved, so it must be for the Lord." Did you know that somebody that's saved can be a witness against the Lord? Well, let me ask you. If you act like you should not act in front of somebody and they know that you claim to be saved, are you a good witness or a bad witness? Are you witnessing for the Lord or against the Lord? How many times have we knocked on somebody's door and and we'd say something about them, and they, you know, and they would say, well, you know, this person over here, they say they're a Christian, and well, if they're going to heaven, and I'm just as good as they are, I'm going to heaven. What we need to do is we need to knock out all the excuses from people, don't we? And we need to live such a life. Now, none of us are going to be perfect. We understand that. But we're a witness everywhere we go. Everything we do, we are a representative of the Lord. We're an ambassador for Christ. The Bible says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are a representative from another country to this world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My home's in heaven. I'm an ambassador for Christ here in this world. We need to represent our country well, friends. The Bible also gives us some other biblical methods about witnessing, and we'll talk about this tonight. But there's in Acts chapter number 8, we see one speaking to one. And you remember Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. So there's something that's given to us. You realize that in the Bible, most of the time, it was the Lord Jesus sent out twos. And we see Peter and John would go out, Paul and Silas, and Paul and Barnabas. There was always teams of two, and there's reasons for that and purposes for that. I want to talk about these ones. In Acts chapter number 8, there was one speaking to one, and the Lord sent him there miraculously and put him out there, and that Ethiopian eunuch was ready to receive the gospel. He has already read in Isaiah chapter 53, and Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I understand unless somebody tells me about it? And Philip said, well, let me tell you about it. Boy, there's times like that, isn't there? You begin to talk to somebody and they say, boy, you know, I'd like to have what you have. Or, you know, what do you mean being saved? And all of a sudden, it just opens right up, one speaking to one. Then there's one in Acts chapter number 2. Verse number 14, we see one speaking to a group of people there when Peter is with the other 11, and then there's a whole bunch of people around him, and he begins to speak to them, begins to preach to them. There's one speaking to a group of people, and of course, there were others there that were able to speak. And then there's one speaking to a group of believers in Acts chapter number 1, when they're there, and we could go back and we could read. As a matter of fact, I'm going to look at that just very, very quickly tonight. In Acts chapter number 1, we see one speaking to a group of believers. And the Bible says, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said these things and begins to talk about choosing another disciple. There are times that we teach others and one speaking to a group of people, one speaking to believers. And so these are all ways of witnessing. And by the way, witnessing is not always about telling somebody about the Lord. Sometimes it's telling about what good things God has done. Chris was telling me that he had talked to Bob and Kelly Radank, and they've been praying for them. And he said Mia prays for them just about every night in her prayers. Prays for Bob and Kelly Radank and Jackson. And he asked them a question, and they told him how God had answered a prayer. They were needing so much money to cover some medical bills, and they were in a church, and they took up that money, and it exceeded the amount that they needed. And so Chris was able to go and tell Mia, said, you've been praying for them every day. See what happens when you pray? And so we can understand that here, as we talk about this witnessing, now he's able to witness to his daughter about these things, and we are able to tell others what God has done in somebody's life. And I can tell other believers, God's answered these prayers. God's done these things. That's witnessing. We can understand. Sometimes it's one speaking to one. Sometimes it's one speaking to a group of people, and could be a mixed group of people. And sometimes it's one speaking to a group of believers. And then we have the great example that's given to us in the book of Luke chapter number 10, where the Lord Jesus had the 70 and He sent them out two by two. And this was a method that He said. Now in this particular passage of Scripture, you're going to read it. And He says, I want you to go to the lost sheep of Jerusalem. And I want you to go with no script nor purse in your hand. I want you to go with nothing in your hand. And then in this particular passage of Scripture, it says something that could be very confusing until you understand the context of it. It says, go to these places, and when you're welcome, you go in and you take whatever it is they put in front of you. Don't complain, you don't gripe, you just take it, and you thank God because God's going to provide for you. But in that it says, but don't go from, you will not go from house to house. And so some people says, well, that's saying that we don't need to do door-to-door soul winning. No, it is saying because in that place that he was sending them to, he was sending them out because he was getting ready to go to these places. And he was saying, I've got a job for you to do. You go before me, and I'm going to be behind you, and we're going to see God do some great things in these cities. But in this, at this time, he was still coming, and these blessings were still being poured out upon Jerusalem. The church was not in action yet, if you will. So he says, I want you to go to the lost sheep of Jerusalem. In these cities were people other than Jews. He says, in Matthew, another portion of Matthew chapter number 10, he says, you don't go to the Gentiles and don't go to the Samaritans. So that's why they did not go from house to house. All these things changed. That's Luke chapter number 10 when he said he sent out the 70. And he says, I want you to go out. And then in Luke chapter number 10, he says, then I want you to come and tell me what you find out. Bring me a report back. That's the example that's given to us. And you say, well, he said don't do these things and don't do that. And it was written to Jerusalem over in Luke chapter number 22. This time he says things are different now. He says, this time I want you to take your money. He says, before I told you not to, but now I'm taking you to do this. And then we find in the book of Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 42, the Bible teaches us that the new church, the first century church, the Bible says, and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. So we understand that there were certain things that did not take place earlier in the Gospels that began to take place as the church began to be formed. So we understand there are different ways of witnessing, but every one of these methods are to be biblical. It is a biblical method for us to be witnesses for the Lord. Everywhere we go. Some it's going to be one speaking to one, and some maybe sometimes one speaking to a group of believers, maybe sometimes one speaking to just a group of people. But you're going to find over and over again that it's usually twos. And there's reasons for that. If one falls down, the other one can help him up. If one is accused, the other one can be a faithful witness to say, no, that didn't happen. There's safety in these things, you know? And that there's reasons that the Lord Jesus give us these methods. We're to do these methods, and we're to do them the biblical way. And when we do these things, God will bless and God will honor. Not only do we see prayer and witnessing, another method that must always be biblical if we're going to honor Christ is the method of baptism. Baptism, there is a biblical method for baptism. Do you realize baptism is always after you're saved? Not before, after you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you realize that there is a proper method or mode of baptism? It is not to be sprinkled, it is not to be poured upon, but it is to be immersed. That's the example that's given to us. And it follows salvation. You follow the Lord and the proper mode, and then there's the proper authority. And that's the local church. The church. Because the Lord Jesus gave what two ordinances to the church? What have we talked about so many times? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so that's a church ordinance. And a church is to baptize only believers, right? That is the biblical method, baptism. And then church membership. There's a biblical method for church membership. In our church and any New Testament church, you have to be saved. And then you have to take that first step of obedience and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You say, why are we so strict on these things? Because it's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible helps us to understand these things. Church membership is something that's very dear. Paul, right after he was saved and he had been baptized, you know what he did? He went and joined himself to the other apostles. And that word joined means that he joined up. He went and placed himself in that body, and that was the early church. And he placed himself there. And we need to understand that it is a biblical method. Church membership is something that God has given us to, because the local church is to carry out what? The Great Commission? And so you join up with that church. You unite with that church for a purpose. You unite because you unite with them because you believe that, first of all, it's a biblical method, because you believe in the doctrine that that church teaches. I wouldn't join a church if I didn't agree with their doctrine. Why would you, you know? So we have to understand, there's biblical method. There's a biblical method of prayer. There's a biblical method in witnessing. There's a biblical method in baptism. There's a biblical method in church membership. There's a biblical method in the Lord's Supper. We do that often around here, and we realize that it is for believers. Some practice even more closed communion than what we do. We believe that believers that have been saved and followed the Lord in believers' baptism are able to take the Lord's Supper. And by the way, we're not the ones that judges those things. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. So we understand this. There's a biblical method for the Lord's Supper. There's a biblical method for baptism. There's a biblical method for church membership. There's a biblical method for witnessing. There's a biblical method for prayer. What are we talking about? What's this message about? It's about honoring Christ with our methods. Don't we see these things changing in churches today? Do you realize that in a lot of churches that you can just say, I want to join up and join up, and people, they won't even ask you about your salvation. They won't even ask you about your soul, you know? They just want to have a bigger membership. Well, I want to have a bigger membership, but I want it to be a biblical membership. A saved church membership, just like the Bible helps us to understand. So we need to realize this, that God's given us these methods, and these methods are for our protection. There are guidelines that God gives to us. You know, people always accuse us independent Baptists of just being a rules-oriented people. We're not a rules-oriented people, we just believe the Bible. And you realize standards are there for protection, right? How many of y'all drive? What's on the side of the road painted on this side, on the right side of the road when you're driving? Normally. A line, usually a white line. What about in the middle of the road? Is there anything in the middle of the road? What's that? Dotted line, solid line, double line, whatever. But more lines painted. Why are they there? There's a standard. That's a standard. That is a parameter. And you're supposed to stay within those parameters for safety purposes. Rules are not something that are there to try to suppress us. Biblical rules are there to free us, to give us liberty, and to show us, these are the things that I have for you. And you can honor Christ. You know what? Why do we believe there are certain ways you ought to dress, certain songs you ought to sing, and certain songs you ought not sing, and certain things you ought to watch and should not watch, and all that? Why? Because the Bible has taught us that there are certain things that should be a part of our life and certain things that should not be a part of our life. Now, I realize for some people, some of those things vary, you know, because we have to let the Holy Spirit guide and let the Holy Spirit work in their lives. To be honest with you, I believe the holier we are, the better off we'll be. If we're holier in this world, the holier we are, I think the more we can do for the Lord. And by the way, true holiness is not something that's going to go around and look down at others. True holiness is going to be something that goes around and helps out others. That's the way Christ was. Has there anybody been more holy than He that's walked on the face of the earth? Did He ever reject anybody as far as just turning them aside? Do you ever tell somebody, you're not worthy of my presence? Do you ever look down their nose? Now, he scourged some people and he turned over some tables in the temple. We realize that. But he was a people person. And he never failed in being holy, but he also never failed in being compassionate. It can work. The problem is, we have a lot of people in the world today, and I know a lot of preachers that want to be holier than thou to everybody else, and then they have nothing to do with anybody else. That's not the biblical method, right? So we understand these things. These are things that God has given to us and helps us to understand. Church discipline is something that there's a method of this. There's a method. A lot of people don't like to talk about church discipline, you know, and it's not something that we want to have to do. But there is a method in Matthew chapter number 18 that tells us how to handle certain things. And it's the biblical method. There's a way, and it tries to protect people. It's going back to those rules again. And those methods are there to try to protect the person that's under the discipline. One goes to one, you know? And then if they don't listen to that, then you take a witness to go to that one. If they don't listen to that, you bring them before the church. If they don't listen to that, then you know, that's it. You have to discipline them in a certain way. But see, what you want to do is you want it to never have to come before the church. Never. That's your goal. Right? That's the spirit that Christ would have us to have when it comes to church discipline. And then preaching. I believe the method ought to always be biblical. We can find the great sermons in the Bible, the sermon that Jesus gave, that great Sermon on the Mount, great, great message, wasn't it? We go back to Ezra and we can see the way that he preached. You know, he stood upon the pulpit of wood. The people stood to their feet when he opened the Bible, and the people said, "Amen, amen," you know? Preaching ought to take the Word of God and explain it to the people. Preaching ought to be something that the Spirit of God gets a hold of the man of God and he preaches the Word of God and it touches the people of God. It moves them to serve the Lord in a greater way. It's a sad thing. There have been times in my life where I've literally preached my heart out. And it's like people don't even hear, you know? I'm not saying here. I'm just saying, you know, I've been preaching for a long time now. Not real long time, but 20-some years. How long have I been preaching now? 23 years. Good night, I'm getting old. 23 years I've been preaching, and I've preached in places it was just so cold. And you'd get up and you'd preach your heart out, knowing you were preaching the message that God wanted you to preach, saying the words that God wanted you to say, and you come to the end and you think, boy, God's surely going to do something, and people's surely going to move. And I'm going to tell you something, I've seen people sit there with their arms folded and with a scowl on their face, and they were ready to get out of there, you know? I like preaching, but preaching has to be biblical, or it's not truly preaching, is it? Now, I'm not talking about you ladies that preach so good at the house. I'm talking about preaching from the pulpit's what I'm talking about. I told somebody last night with my family, they're over in Indian Rocks, and one of them made a comment about preaching. You know, they said, don't start preaching, because I was, you know, saying something. I don't know what it was. They said, you probably just preach all the time, don't you, Jody? That's what they, don't you, Jody? You know, and I said, huh? I said, she's the preacher. I said, the sermons that are good are the sermons that she's given to me throughout the week. She preaches them to me and I preach them to everybody, you know? I'm not talking about that kind of preaching at all. I'm talking about there is a biblical method. I'm seeing more and more preachers that don't even use the Bible. You'd be surprised. Or they'll use the Bible and they'll take it so far out of context. I'm seeing things happen. Look, I've heard people get up and they've read a great story, not from the Bible, maybe Reader's Digest story, you know? You understand what I'm talking about. It's one of those moving stories. And they'll get up and they'll give a discourse on that story. And they'll try to apply spiritual meaning to it. But the Bible says, preach the Word. I'm amazed. I go into Christian bookstores now. They've got a Sunday school series on Andy of Mayberry. Now, I like Andy Griffith. Now, you can ask my family, I can drive them crazy with it. I like Andy and Barney, you know? I like it. But a Sunday school series? They've got a Beverly Hillbillies Sunday school series. Beverly Hillbillies. I mean, they've got series for just about everything. And I'm thinking, why don't we just go back to the Bible? That's one of the reasons we have this series, the series we're doing. It's through the Bible. It's through books or certain topics. You know, and it just gives you a better understanding. It's something you open up and you can read along and do these things, but it helps you to be able to study these things. But these things, we ought to see tonight that there are methods that are given to us in the Bible that we need to stick to if we're going to honor the Lord. So many churches, they may be flourishing, but if they're not honoring the Lord, I wouldn't want to be a part of it, would you? I don't care if they're going to be hundreds or even thousands. If they're not honoring Christ, then you ought to stay as far away from it as possible. May the Lord help us tonight. I know I've been preaching these things on Wednesday night, and it's different. But I just think we ought to be settled on these issues. Our message is always going to be Christ-honoring. Our music is always going to be Christ-honoring. Our money is going to be Christ-honoring. Our methods are going to be Christ-honoring. You understand? Next week we'll talk about our members being Christ-honoring. Because as you go out into this world, we've already said this, you're a witness. But in that, as a member of East Avenue Baptist Church, if we're going to be a Christ-honoring church, it's not what we do inside here. It's what we do outside of here that's going to bring honor to Christ. Well, what we do inside is important too. But if we're going to reach the world, it's going to be what we do outside of here. Honoring Christ with our methods. Do you see the need of this tonight? Sometimes I feel like I'm teaching a Sunday school lesson on Wednesday nights. And I always try to preach, but this is something I feel like this is what we're supposed to be looking at. And just keeping it right, keeping it right, keeping it right. May the Lord help us. Let's pray together. We're going to do some things a little bit different. We're going to have a time where we can come to the altar here in just a moment as God has spoken to you. But then as we close tonight, I want us to all make our way back to our seats. So if you come tonight, you come and stay till you're ready to go back. And then I want you to go back to your seat. That's not what we usually do. But then we're going to pray together that God would help us. All right? That God would help us to have our church to be a Christ-honoring church in all things. Father, please have your way tonight. Help us, Lord, to do what's right in every part of our lives. Lord, if this church is going to honor you, I realize it's not just about a preacher or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a song leader or an usher. Lord, it's every one of us. And Lord, may our methods always be right. Lord, may this church always and continue to take a stand upon the biblical methods when it comes to these things. Realizing, Lord, that some tradition is great as long as it's from the Bible. And understanding, Lord, that some tradition, Lord, is meaningless if it's not from your word. Lord, help us to do everything to your glory. And Lord, help these methods, Lord, to be a part of our lives. Lord, may we understand the method that you've given to us, the method of prayer. Lord, may we enter into your presence through prayer and understanding, Lord, what you've given it to us for. Lord, may we be faithful witnesses everywhere we go. Lord, may we understand what it means to be to follow you in believer's baptism and the biblical method in church membership. So many people get so offended at that, Lord, and I pray that you'll help us to just continue to take our stand on these things. Lord's Supper, preaching and just all these different things, Lord, the discipline of the church, may it always be biblical, done right in a way that brings as little harm to the believer and to the body of Christ. And help us tonight to respond in a way that's right and to do thy will with our lives and to bring honor to thee in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I understand it's a different message tonight, but as you stand to your feet, God may have spoken to you about some things.